Well, I am Kathy Smith. I'm here in Nairobi, Kenya, and our topic this afternoon is going to be on how can we as Christian women be kind. So let me just open us in prayer. Father, I give you thanks for this group of ladies. I thank you for our time to be together. And Lord, we come and we think that we are, as Christian women, kind. But I pray that you would just show us today just a new way in which we can show kindness to someone that maybe is already in our sphere of influence, or maybe it's somebody new that you're going to bring our direction. But I pray that we would just be open to what you have for us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we are talking about being kind. And the word kind in the Greek dictionary actually means goodness. So the problem is that we usually just go about, for those of you who haven't met me before, I apologize for my whole eye thing. I'm not really frowning at you. I am really squinting, but I'm not really frowning. I just look that way because I just have an eye condition that just really interacts with light, and it just makes my eyes want to close tight and not open. So I apologize for that. But most of us go through life just thinking that, you know, we're going to be kind or we're going to do something kind. We don't really give it a whole lot of thought. And as Christians, we're going to come to see that acts of kindness really require planning. Okay? It's something that we need to plan. It's not something that comes naturally to us, but it's something that the Holy Spirit helps us with. Because from Galatians 5:22 and 23, kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, it's really impossible to show biblical kindness. So a woman who encourages other people is showing kindness. But in order to encourage other people, we need to be encouraged ourselves. Okay? So how are some ways that you are encouraged?
Maybe affirmation. Someone just appreciates what you're
doing. Okay, so someone appreciates you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of you are single, if not all of you. Well, somebody's Joy. Joy is married, yes. But, so Joy has the possibility of coming home at night and having a husband encourage her, if nothing else. Those of you who are single, if you live by yourself, and you go off to work every day, and your workplace is not full of people that give you encouragement, you could go the entire day and never have any words of encouragement given you. If you don't have a boss that tells you you've done well on a certain project or encourages you, and that can be a very lonely way to live. So, but there is a way that we can all receive encouragement, and that's through God's Word. And so, as Christians, we need to make sure that each day is fulfilling us spiritually. And the way we do that is by spending regular time in the Word with the Lord, by communicating with Him in prayer, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to allow God to encourage us through His Word. If you are in a situation where you aren't receiving a lot of encouragement, and especially if you're a person whose love language is words of encouragement, those people, as I'm married to one, and his primary love language is words of encouragement, so he needs lots of encouragement. Unfortunately, that is like my number 5 love language, for those of you who are familiar with the 5 love languages. And so I have to really work at giving him the encouragement that he needs. fortunately, it's not all up to me, okay? Because he also gets his encouragement from the Lord and from other people. But all that is to say, if you're not receiving the encouragement that you feel like you need, then find some scripture that is encouraging to you, and either write it down and memorize it, or just as you're going through your daily Bible reading, just write down the scriptures that encourage you and keep them all in one area of your prayer journal or wherever, and then you can go there. And when you need an encouraging word, you'll have some right there at your fingertips. Okay? So, kindness does involve encouraging others. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, if you'll go there. Romans 12, verses 7 through 8. And it's talking about spiritual, some of the gifts. It says, if it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And so within that list of spiritual gifts, three of those have to do with kindness. And that would be serving and mercy and giving. So that's what we're going to focus on, is those three areas. So serving actually means helping others. So I'm going to assign some scriptures and then we'll kind of work through this. So Lillian, if you'll take Philippians 2:7. And Joy, if you'll take James 5:16. And Olive, if you'll take Proverbs 3:27. And then Jemima, if you would take 1 Corinthians 10:31. And Maria, if you would take Matthew 20:28. So what does Philippians 2:7 say?
Philippians 2:7. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
Okay. So Christ made himself as a servant to us. He didn't need to do that. He was God. We should be serving him, right? But he made himself to be a servant to those he was around. So certainly, if Jesus Christ can be a servant to others, that's the example that I need to follow. So we need to go prepared to be used by God wherever we are. And so that doesn't mean just kind of going aimlessly through life. I don't know when you leave here today, are most of you going to go witnessing at the Science Academy or wherever it is? Or are most of you going home from here?
So this is talking about...
What will you be doing, Lillian, when you leave here?
We are going for the dinner.
You're going to go to dinner. Okay.
We're going to come. We'll follow you after the
call. Okay, okay. Well, so let's just say you're going to dinner, okay? So that's what you've planned. You've planned to go to dinner. And what you need to pray is that you will go prepared to be used by God, okay? So if we pray that, and if we ask the Holy Spirit to help us recognize opportunities, then while I'm at dinner, I might find that the person serving me at dinner maybe just has a real downcast expression. And sometimes if you just call whoever is serving you by their name, if it's on the name tag, that just perks them up, because they could go their entire work shift not ever having anybody address them by their name or recognize them as a real person, you know, other than just somebody serving their dinner. Sometimes it's just little things like that. Okay? So just to be cognizant of how God could use you. So other things to think about. Do I go out of my way to do personal acts of kindness for my husband? Do I don't know if any of you have roommates. Do you go out of your way to do a personal act of kindness for your roommate or for the woman who's mentoring you or for a family member or for a coworker? Let's see, Joy, you have James 5:16. Go ahead and read that.
James 5:16. Mm-hmm. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So pray of a righteous household is spotless and effective.
Okay, so to be a good servant, then we need to develop our prayer life. We need to be specific about our prayers for others. Okay? If you know of a specific need, whether or not you're the person that's going to meet that need, you can pray about that, okay? But you can't do that if you don't have a relationship with somebody. And I know that your culture is much more relational than my culture. In my culture, it is so easy to just go about my daily life with my little blinders on and just not see the people that God's putting in my path. But I think you all are much more relational. And if you're not, then that's what we need to try and become. It's more relational so that we know about people's needs, so that we know what to pray for. Proverbs 3:27. What does that say, Olive? Okay, so don't withhold. If you have the ability and the opportunity and you recognize the need, don't withhold a word of encouragement or a hug. As a single, how many hugs do you get? Probably not very many. I could go for weeks as a single woman and never receive a hug. My family didn't live in the same town. I didn't have any relatives there. I didn't have a boyfriend there. You know, I could go weeks without a hug. Think of the widows that no longer get hugs. You know, so don't withhold when you know that you could be the one giving a hug, giving a word of encouragement, thanking someone. You know, did we all thank the guy that was serving us lunch? Did we give him thanks for doing that? Yeah. So we choose, you know, we have the choice of whether or not we're going to bless someone with an act of service or not, or if we're going to withhold that. So what should be our motivation for serving? First Corinthians 10:31.
So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, let it all for the glory of God.
So that should always be our motivation, to do everything to God's glory. Okay. And then Matthew 20:28.
Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
So Christ was here on earth. He was God who came down to earth to become man. And he could have expected us to serve him, but he didn't. He served us. And was he a busy man? Yes, he was. But he took the time to serve. And serving, it can be something easy as a hug or something, but serving can be wearisome, okay? Because if I take the time to be in relationship with somebody enough to serve them, then that has the possibility of taking up a lot of my time, maybe even becoming burdensome, okay? So serving can definitely become weary, but that's what we're called to do. Okay, so another gift could be mercy. And mercy can be defined as helping the hurting. James 1:27 says that we're to look after the orphans and widows. We've already read James 5:16 that tells us, you know, to pray, but we could also reach out with a touch, a hug, a note, or in today's, you know, with your phones, just a text. You know, we all like to receive just a, hey, I'm praying for you today. Or, hey, how'd that test go? Or, you know, just so that somebody knows we've been thinking about them. All right, so with mercy, it's important to be an avid listener. And Proverbs 12:25 talks about that. It's important to make eye contact and to not interrupt. And that is one of the things that has bugged me the most about this eye condition that I have now, is that I always feel like I'm kind of like looking, like here, I want to be looking at your eyes, but where your eyes are, there is just so much light. And so where I tend to focus is at your knees, and that's not really where I want to focus, but that's where my eyes go in order to rest. You know? So, but make eye contact and don't interrupt. Let's see, Carol, if you would look up Luke 15, verses 3 through 6, and then, Sian, if you would look up Proverbs 22:9, and so when you get that, Carol, you can read it to us.
What this parable is saying? What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, you must leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until you find it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing.
Okay. So this is talking about how we need to develop a generous eye. Okay, so God wants us to take care of others, just like the one went after, I mean, the shepherd went after the lost sheep. Okay, so in order to do that, we've got to develop an eye that is going to show us, you know, where are the lost? Where are those who aren't part of the group, maybe, so to speak? You know, if you walked in here this morning and maybe somebody was standing by themselves, you know, it's not that maybe no one is friends with that person or knows that person, but it might just be that that person was wounded or hurting and just was uncomfortable being around people. But for someone to take the time that instead of going over to your friends and talking with that group, you know, to look and see who is that wounded or hurting person, and to come and spend time with that person. Obviously, if it's somebody of the opposite sex, you have to, you know, steer clear of that or be very careful about that. But with women, you can do that. Okay, what does Proverbs 22:9 say?
Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't share your food with the poor if you don't recognize who the poor are. So we've got to develop that generous eye in which we are looking for those who are hurting. Okay. And again, you've got to depend on the Holy Spirit and recognize the Holy Spirit guiding and directing. Jesus, there were poor people all around him, right? Did he heal everybody? No. Did he feed everybody? No. But it was the people that he was directed to. There's no way we can take care of everyone's needs, but it's those who we're directed to. And then that's the last one under mercy, to be direct. And so when we see someone who's hurting or wounded, sometimes we do have to be direct. We have to walk up and say, you look like you're really hurting. What can I do to help you? Okay. And in the other group, I was telling of an example. There had been a death in a family, and it was a pretty large family. I mean, there were a lot of young children. And so this mom was just overwhelmed in getting her family just even ready to go to the funeral of her loved one. And so then a friend came up and said, "What can I do to help you?" And she said, "You know, if you would just pick out what the kids need to wear and get them dressed, you know." And so she could do that. She washed their shoes and picked out their, you know, church clothes to get them dressed so that they'd be ready to walk out the door for the funeral, because the mother was just in a state of grief. Okay, so just something simple like that. But sometimes we have to be direct, because we don't know what. It might just be something simple like that, that we can meet a need. And then the third area of kindness is giving. And that's distributing one's own money, or it might be distributing possessions to others. And you would do that without thought of return or gain. It's one thing to loan money to a friend, knowing that you're going to receive it back. It's another thing to give it freely. And so in doing that, we need to be bold, because we need to trust God, trust the Holy Spirit, that that He's gonna, that if it seems like we're supposed to give money to this person or this cause, that it's worthy, you know, that it's a worthy cause. And to be generous by giving cheerfully. And that's seen in Proverbs 11:25. So, Etta, would you look up Proverbs 31:20? And then, Lillian, if you would look up Deuteronomy 15:7-11. And Joy, if you would look up Isaiah 58:6-12, please. What does Proverbs 31:20 say?
She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy.
Okay, so, you know, we've all read about this Proverbs 31 woman. This perfect woman who works all day 24/7, it seems like. She takes care of the needs of her family. And so this is the epitome of Christian womanhood. So this woman still is able to take the time to open her arms to the poor and the needy. So what is her motivation for doing that? I mean, we can all be motivated to take care of our own family, even, you know, even the women in our Bible study, okay? But what motivates somebody to take care of the needs of people you don't even know, or maybe that you don't know about? And so, did I assign Isaiah 58:6-12 to anybody? I did? Okay.
Is not this the kind of fasting our children? To loose the camel strings of injustice, to untie the cord of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide with the poor one another shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not turn away from your own flesh and blood.
All the way through 12, 6 through 12.
Okay. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will come. And you will call on the Lord, will answer. You will cry, and He will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the evil of oppression, let the mighty king and malicious store, and if you spend yourself, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the need of the poor,
Then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become as noonday.
Okay. So, this Christian woman, Proverbs 31, you know, she fears God. She knows his love and compassion. And then in Isaiah 58, 6 through 12, it talks about how we're to meet the needs of the poor and the needy. You know, it talked about giving generously without a begrudging heart, sharing food with the hungry, providing the homeless with shelter, clothing the naked, satisfying the needs of the oppressed. And then it went on to talk about some of the blessings that the giver receives when all that takes place. It said, talks about that everything you put your hand to is going to be blessed in some way. And so it's up to us to maybe recognize that. It talks about that the land will be healed. And so what we have to remember is, if you think about the Israelites, remember when they were, well, it was before they were Israelites, okay, they were the Hebrew people, and they were exiting out of Egypt. And who went before them? Who went before them? Hmm? The Lord. Right. And he went before them in a cloud. Mm-hmm. And he was also their rear guard. He went before them, and he was also their rear guard. He protected them from the encroaching Egyptian army. So that's how it is for us. As we go out into the world, into our life, because it's sometimes scary to think about serving and having mercy on people and giving to people. Because, A, it's going to require time. B, we think somebody might take advantage of us. C, it might require my money. Okay? And we just need to realize that the Lord goes before us. He is our rear guard. We have the Holy Spirit within us that will enable us to recognize those that he's calling us to serve or to have mercy upon or to give to. So if you look at your handout, there's some applications there, and we'll start on those if we have the time. But I want to talk about the hindrances to being kind, and one of those is anger. So let me just assign some more verses to look up. Edna, if you would catch James 4, verses 6 through 10. And Sian, if you would take Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. And then Carol, if you would look up 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Joy, you were able to look up in the Amplified yesterday. Would you look up Philippians 4, 8? Please. And then Maria, would you take Psalm 141, verse 3? And Olive, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. And then Lillian, if you would take 1 Timothy 2, 9, and 10. And then go to chapter 5 and get verses 9 and 10. All right, so one of the hindrances to being kind is anger, okay? Because our anger reveals sinful desires within our hearts. But the solution to that is found in James 4, 6 through 10.
But he gives us no peace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you see that purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Okay, so the solution to anger is humbling ourselves and submitting to God. And so then, instead of being angry at the thought, well, I'm supposed to be kind to this person, okay, then if we are submitting ourselves to the Lord and humbling ourselves before Him, then that anger dissipates. That's it. Okay, a second hindrance to being kind is bitterness or resentment. If we don't deal with our anger, then it evolves into resentment. And then resentment can turn into bitterness. Bitterness is basically when you get to the point of you're thinking vengeful thoughts about someone, okay? So when we are resentful or bitter, then that sin has to somehow be related to us, okay? I can't have bitterness and resentfulness towards something that doesn't even relate to me, okay? So it has to somehow relate to us. And so we need to be very wary of developing that, especially towards someone who knows us the best, a husband, children, the women in our Bible study. Because usually when you're resentful or bitter, when it reaches that point, it's usually somebody that's close to you. Okay? So, how do you know if you're being bitter or resentful? If you keep playing it over and over and over in your head, then that should let you know, I'm getting resentful, if not bitter about something. Okay, so if it's playing over and over in your head, it's probably reached that stage. So the solution, though, is found in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. So what does that say, Sian?
Ephesians 4:31 and 32. Mm-hmm. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you.
Mm-hmm. So God has forgiven me much. I need to forgive others, okay? And put aside those other things. All right, so another thing that hinders our ability to be kind is a negative or critical spirit. And so that's when we actually go looking for faults in other people. Okay? And we may not even have a valid reason for doing it. Okay? We've just decided that we're going to form an unfavorable opinion, maybe about their actions or about their words, or about their motives. And so we're actually looking for the worst in somebody. Okay? And so that would be being critical or negative. And again, this tends to happen to the people that are closest to us. If I don't even, I barely know Etta, so I'm probably not going to have a critical or judgmental or negative thought about her. But now my sister, that's a different story. I know her, you know. Okay? So that's usually how it happens. So the solution then is found in 1 Corinthians 13:7.
Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Okay. So love doesn't mean that we ignore sin, okay? But it just presumes that someone is not sinning unless we have real evidence, okay? And then Philippians 4:8, whenever you're really thinking negative thoughts about somebody, you ought to memorize Philippians 4:8.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that say in the Amplified?
We have to remember that not to decide is to decide.
Yes, 4:8.
It says, finally, brothers and sisters, fill your mind with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy.
So if you need a good verse to memorize, that's an excellent one. Because when you're thinking angry thoughts, negative thoughts, critical thoughts, any of these things that could hinder you from being kind, think about the things that are excellent and praiseworthy. So another hindrance to being kind is nagging. I don't even think I probably need to identify what that is, because I'm sure that you probably have all felt like your mother nagged you when you were growing up, or maybe you had an older sibling that nagged you, or maybe you're the one who did the nagging. I'm the oldest child in my family, and I can tell you, I can guarantee you, if you ask my brother or sister, they will tell you that I nagged them. So what is the solution to nagging? It's found in Psalm 141, verse 3.
Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips.
So instead of nagging, we should be giving encouraging words to people that don't tear them down. Okay. And then a final hindrance to being kind is when we exhibit self-pity or complaining. So what does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 say, Anna?
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
So if we're giving thanks, it's pretty impossible to have a little pity party, isn't it? If we're giving thanks. It's more difficult to complain if we're giving thanks for things. And a few years ago, I realized I was not complaining so much as I was becoming more negative. And so I thought, I'm not really spending time thanking God for what He has done for me. And so every morning then, when I got up, in my journal, I would write down a minimum of 5 things that I could thank God for from the day before. It might be something small. You know, thank you, Lord, that my son did not put toothpaste all over the bathroom counter today. You know, but, or thank you, God, for a good night's sleep. You know, thank you that I had air conditioning today. Because in Oklahoma, where I'm from, it gets really hot. I know y'all think it's cold. I think it's not cold. But, you know, so in the wintertime, thank you, God, that I had heat, a heater. You know. So it can be simple things, but it got me in the habit of not only having the attitude of prayer, but being thankful. Okay? So, in summary, kindness really defines our reputation as Christian women to a great degree. I'll let you read 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, and then chapter 5, 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God.
Okay, and then chapter 5, 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds.
Okay, so these verses are talking about that we're to be known for our good deeds. And then Ephesians 6:8 tells us that the rewards for those good deeds are going to far outweigh our sacrifices. All right. So, I don't know that we really have enough time to work through this application. But if you look at the application, it's given three examples here. The widow of Zarephath, the Shunammite woman, and Dorcas. And so I would just challenge you to take the time to examine, you know, how each of these women demonstrated concern for others. And then later, how did she experience God's blessing? So I think we'll have time for one of them. Let's look up 1 Kings 17. We'll look at the widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 24. Okay, so as I read, I want you to focus on two things. I want you to figure out what her good deed was, what was her act of kindness, and then how did God bless that? Okay, so this is 1 Kings 17, 7 through 24. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This is Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. Then he took him from his arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." All right. So, what was this widow's act of kindness?
You can seek for supplying Elijah's needs.
Okay, she supplied Elijah's needs. Mm-hmm. Was that easy for her to do?
No.
This woman was on, I mean, she was preparing the last meal. She was out of everything, right? Yeah. So it was inconvenient. Talk about giving. I mean, I can, if I see someone in need of something monetary, I can give them a little money, and maybe that just means I don't get to go out and buy myself a coffee or a Diet Coke. This woman thought she was giving the very last of her oil and flour, didn't she? And so it was very, I mean, that would be a very difficult decision. And she wasn't just making that decision for herself. It involved her son as well, didn't it? So that was her act of kindness. And not just that, she didn't just do it once. This went on and on and on, didn't it? Okay. So then how did God bless her? Was she expecting a blessing? I mean, she thought she was going to die anyway. Yeah. So she certainly wasn't expecting a blessing. But how did God bless her? In more than one way, really. Exactly. So she had an immediate blessing, didn't she? And then, did she have another blessing? What was that?
His son being restored.
Right. So she developed that relationship with Elijah, and then God blessed by Elijah then being able to restore her son's life. So we can choose to provide an act of kindness, whether it's through serving or giving or some act of mercy, but we shouldn't expect anything in return. But at some point, God is going to bless that. It may be an immediate blessing. She received an immediate blessing. But then she received a blessing, you know, we don't know, it might have been years later as well. Because she could have just fed Elijah one time, but she continued to feed him. I mean, when she found that her oil and her flour didn't run out, I'd be inclined to think, oh, good, I've got food enough for my son and I. But I might not continue to feed this strange man that I didn't know. You know? So this widow of Zarephath, which we're never told who she is, but she made it into God's word. I mean, that's something. We don't know her name, but she made it into God's word because of her act of kindness. We don't know anything else about this woman other than that she's a widow, she had a son, she thought she was going to die, and because of that act of kindness, she made it into the Bible. That's a big deal. Okay. All right. It's about time to close. So let me just close us in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for your word, the example that you set for us as far as being kind to other people, whether it be to people that are close to us or just our acquaintances or even strangers. And so, Lord, we may not totally have been given the gift of serving or the gift of giving, or the gift of mercy, and yet you call us to do those things, even though they may not be our special gifting. And so, Father, I pray that we would rely on you and your Holy Spirit to help us recognize people who are in need around us and how we can serve them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.